KQED.
After spirited oral arguments Tuesday, the fate of California's Proposition 8 is now in the hands of the U.S. Supreme Court. The California Report's Scott Schaefer is in Washington covering the proceedings and says not all the action was in the courtroom.
As the Supreme Court took up California's ban on same-sex marriage, a very different kind of oral argument was happening on the streets nearby.
One woman, one man, one woman, one man.
Frank Capley Alfano of San Francisco and his husband Joe carried a huge California flag with rainbow stripes and their wedding photo album.
I think that the polls are clearly reflected in the crowd that is here today, overwhelmingly in support of marriage equality.
But inside the courtroom, several justices expressed plenty of doubts about same-sex marriage and whether Prop 8 violates the U.S. Constitution. Justice Samuel Alito was among those wondering if it's too soon to determine the impact of gay marriages.
You want us to step in and render a decision based on an assessment of the effects of this institution, which is newer than cell phones or the internet? I mean, we do not have the ability to see the future.
But as Prop 8 attorney Charles Cooper struggled to describe the harm gay marriage does to society, Justice Anthony Kennedy wondered about harm that might come from banning it.
There are some 40,000 children in California, according to the red brief, that live with same-sex parents. And they want their parents to have full recognition and full status. The voice of those children is important in this case, don't you think?
One of the most animated exchanges was between No on 8 attorney Ted Olson and conservative Justice Antonin Scalia, who pressed Olson on his notion that marriage is a fundamental right for same-sex couples.
When did it become unconstitutional to exclude homosexual couples from marriage?
When
did the law become this?
I may answer this in the form of a rhetorical question. When did it become unconstitutional to prohibit interracial marriages?
As the morning went on, it became clear that it might be tough to find 5 votes for any of the many options facing the court. At one point, Justice Kennedy wondered why the court even took this case in the first place. One possible way out, deciding that the sponsors of Prop 8 lack legal standing to defend a ballot measure even when state officials won't. The lower court ruling striking down Prop 8 would then stand. Afterwards, outside the courthouse, No on 8 attorney Ted Olson said the justices don't miss a chance to ask tough questions.
Questions may not even reveal how they're thinking, but they want to know the answers to those questions, so they put every advocate to the test, so to speak, and the American people will be able to see how this works.
Yes on 8 attorney Austin Nimick says he hopes the justices will allow decisions on gay marriage to continue being made by state legislatures and voters, not judges.
That's why we think the court should not act with a heavy hand here. Uphold Proposition 8, and more importantly, uphold the right of good Americans on both sides of this debate to continue to have the debate.
A day that began with such excitement and a sense of history for supporters of gay marriage left some of them feeling a bit let down. Lieutenant Governor Gavin Newsom admitted being one of them.
I mean, I didn't come out as enthusiastic as I came in. That's the honest response. I want to spin it, but I can't.
And yet, as anyone who remembers last year's decision on Obamacare knows, the Supreme Court has a way of surprising us. Their decision will come by late June.